Who was in the Garden of Eden? Two people. So what is happening in today's society? It's just grown. When you stop and you think, this affects our church. We have church members that are on the right side. We have some on the left side. We have a lot of strife that is going on just in our church. But why is that? Did we not come to church to learn about our Heavenly Father? So why should there be any different? Why can I come here? I think there's a ring in Mr. Rick. But why do we come here and hear one message about God, our loving Father? I can go right back down the road to a Baptist fundamental church, and it's something totally different. Why? Out of all people, who should get along the best? Christians. Because why should we get along better? Who are we serving? Who are we here to edify and glorify? So why is there a difference? Even right here in our church, why do we have differences? We have some people, oh, I won't talk with that member. They did me wrong. I don't agree with that. And you see them going different ways. When that happens in the church, what shortly happens thereafter? Most times churches split. They divide. Look at churches in our local area that have just gone away. They're no longer churches. And that's the whole point of this study that we'll be going through. It's the title of the book is One Another, A Guide for Strengthening God-Given Relationships. That's not just in church. If you want to open up your Bibles, go to Romans chapter 12. We're going to go to verse 3 through 5. When we come to church, why do we come to church? Nurse Jim, why do we come to church? The fellowship and the Word. We also come to grow and we come to learn more. Why do we want to learn more? What are we going to do with that knowledge and that wisdom? We spread it. Who are we going to spread this knowledge and wealth to? Who's going to be a first person when we get home that we talk to? Our families. So if we can't get along in church, what's going to happen when we get home? A lot of y'all know elderly gentleman I'm good with. He passed away, Mr. William Felton. One of the stories the pastor talked about at his funeral, he said that one Sunday church, it was over, and he was at the back door greeting people. And as Mr. Bill and Miss Rose was coming to lead, there was a guy in front of him. With this guy, happened the pastor said, that was a good sermon, but I don't think it'll help. I've been married 7 times, and I can't find anyone that's worth. Before he could finish talking, Mr. Bill said, well, that be because no one can get along with you. You're the cause. I mean, it's funny. We can see that. But how does it affect you? How many times do we have to fall and bump our head? That's 7 lives ruined. His makes 8, and then any kids make 10, 11. That's going to trickle effect throughout society. As we look across this nation, stop and think. If we'll go back when America was more in its heyday, everybody looked as America as the great and the strong. Are we any longer of that same nation? It's scary. It's sickening. Because it affects us at our core. That's why we're so scared now. When you stop and you think, we want to learn from God's word on how to bring honor and glory to the Lord. By coming to church, learning, dealing with our families, our friends, our coworkers, how are they going to see you if every day, hey, no one can get along with that guy? How well would that one individual be on spreading the message? Nobody's going to listen to him. When you stop and think, how is your relationship? A, with your family? Is it where it should be? Can you be open and honest about anything? I'd much rather my kids, my wife, tell me anything, no matter how horrific. That's why I'm there for, to help them to grow. But when that deceit comes in, you have pride and other issues, what's going to happen to that relationship? It starts deteriorating. I would much rather my kids be able to come to me. Hey, Dad, I messed up. I really need some help, but this is what I did. No matter what, we can get through it. How about my friends? How many of us have friends and family members that are bound for a horrible place called hell? And we want them, hey, get saved. But are they getting that vibe from us? What's blocking it? Sometimes it's our relationship with them. How about in church? Is it real funny to you in church when we have something going on? You have a select few that work. Everybody wants to sign up. Oh, yeah, I'll help. What happens when it's over? You see the same people over and over and over again. Why? So as we're going through it, we're going to study and we want to reflect, because if we can grow ourselves and understand what happened, hopefully we can change ourselves before it's too late. We all agree, as we heard during our conference the other week, we all know that clock is ticking. So if we want to stand before God Almighty, and at least know we've done the best we can, we owe it to ourselves to reflect on it and to change and to grow. At the same point, how would it feel to see those lost family members in heaven with you? Friends, co-workers. So that's what we're going to look at, is how do we change? How did we get so far left center? A lot of times it's our perception. And it gives a illustration in the book. As I was going through it, said that a couple was out shopping. When the wife realized their husband was missing, she called him on the phone. It's like Black Friday shopping. Normally, a group of us, we all go out together. Miss Patsy's already laughing. We go out and everybody's spreading out throughout the store. Well, this wife called her husband. Where are you at? We've got a lot of shopping to do. We're on a timeline. Well, the husband answered the phone and he goes, look, sweetheart, do you remember the jeweler's shop that we went to about 10 years ago? And you saw this necklace that you fell in love with, but I couldn't afford it? The wife couldn't help but choke up in tears. What did she think was getting ready to happen? His next comment, I'm in the gun store next to it. You know, it's perception of it. You know as well as I do when they met up. Yeah, it was very interesting. But God's called us to a higher relationship. No matter what happens with the election, I don't care who gets it. Is there anything outside of God's control? Nothing. Stop and think in your own lives. How has God affected you? Most time when you're on your knees looking up. So no matter what happens with the election, I could care less. My God's in control. It's an awesome feeling. That's how we should feel. But so many times, we forget that relationship with Him. If you look at your papers that Merce Charles handed out, it's the warning to believers. Now, Merce Bruce said, if I turn it on and I hit the button, it works. That's amazing. The warning to believers. If you go back to this verse in Romans 12, verse 3 through 5, the beginning says, for I say through the grace given unto me. Who gave Paul the grace? He was given the instructions on what to write. When you stop and you think, our Bible is an amazing thing. That it was penned by man, but under the instruction of who? God. You actually, how many of us would go and give anything back in time to get something from a loved one that was your favorite? You have it right here. God gave you His own word. Isn't it awesome how much He loves you? He thought about you in the beginning of time, even in Eden. So when you think, you know, it was given under the instruction, 1 Corinthians 14 through chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37, it says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. When you stop and think, there's 66 books. 66? How much do we love when we just get one letter in the mail from a friend? I remember in college, Stacy would send me a letter at least once a day. I couldn't wait to get to the mailbox to hear how special I was to at least one person. He gave us 66 books. Books to tell how special you are. You know, as we look, it's also instruction. It tells us how we should live, right? How we should treat each other. It tells us so much. But it also has some warnings. Why do you think those warnings are there? So we don't make the mistakes. You know, how often has God said, don't do this? And instead of putting up that warning sign, what do? We go and do it. And then we're surprised. It's like I used to tell my son, I used to smoke. And I was a heavy smoker. I'll never forget it. Merce Bruce and Miss Ann, well, actually it was Miss Ann, invited my wife to come to church. We sat over here in the back pew where we sit now. And I'll never forget, Pastor Thompson was the pastor. Brother Barnhouse was the assistant. And Brother Barnhouse would invite us over to the house. He never said one thing to me about it. I just knew he accepted me. I'll never forget, we come to church. I stood right here at this door. I'm going to greet people. I had a cigarette in my mouth. I'll never forget. I thought Pastor Thompson's head would roll. One person come to me and he goes, hey, can I talk with you a minute? Sure. Let's talk about smoking. Oh, you want one? He goes, no, that's not what I want. He told me, he goes, you know, what example are you setting for the youth? what example are you setting for your kids? And at first, you can go ask Stacy. I was like, who gave him the right to be over me? Oh, I can promise you, I was livid. My old school temper, I was redder than Miss Tricia's sweater. I was like, I'm going to show him who's boss. I'm going to buy a whole carton of cigarettes. I'm going to stand out in that road. I'm going to light them all, and there ain't a thing he can say to me. Let's see. I was hot. Years later, I've done a lot of growing and maturing. Why did he say something to me? A, he cared for me. Unconditional. B, he cared for my kids, my family, the kids in this church. It changed me because I now realize the example that I set and how quick people are to learn from what you do. But why was I upset? First thing, is faulty thinking. And that's the first blank spot under number one is the warning. Under A is faulty thinking. And it says, and it's printed out, it says in Galatians 6:3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. I thought that I knew all the answers. Because I was smoking, how much damage have I done to myself? How much damage to my lungs? Should I be surprised in a few years when they tell me I have a tumor or a mass? But how am I going to end up here on my knees begging? But it was my own faulty thinking that got me there. Thank goodness that someone cared. And again, I did the natural thing. How dare him to tell me that? How many times does someone come in church and go, hey, can we talk with you? And they've recommended you change something. And we get upset. How often? Why? Because our thinking of who God is. God put that person in your life for a reason. I had an elderly gentleman come to my office this week, and he was just in tears. He's just buried his son. His wife's got internal bleeding. They don't know why. He's been bounced around the government. No one can figure out why. He can't get the documents he needs. He's at his wits' end. Life's not worth living. We sat down, we talked a minute. And I was like, oh, here's the problem. And it was something very simple. Why do you think God brought him to me? God's plan is awesome. Is truly amazing. When I stop my look around at each and every one of you, I had no stories at how you've affected people, how you've changed their thinking, how sometimes it's just a smile, comfort, reassurance. I'll pick on Brother Jim. We went to Mexico together in Juarez. The time's a little bit different and the temperature is just different. I remember I woke up one morning, about 4 a.m. I was like, I'm going to beat everybody up, going to knock out my devotions. I rolled out of bed, and as soon as I did, Brother Jim's already setting up, good morning. With that smile, I asked Miss Kathy, is he always this way? He was already reading and studying. And he was happy. I know stories like that on each and every one of y'all, how y'all have affected people. But it's the faulty thinking that sidetracks us and it destroys the church. How loving and caring is it when you're hurting, when you need a box? I remember my grandfather, he had the biggest fingers, and they were really callous. And when he would blister you, it felt like sandpaper. But it's amazing how that same mitt, when you were hurt, you were scared. You could lay your hands on him. It was just like a big old softball mitt that would just wrap you up and hold you. How would you like to have that ability in this church? How about at your home? For people to come to you for assurance and guidance. How many of us miss that? But they trained us. They prepared. Because how did they get where they're at? They watched this more than the news. They watched this more than the TV. They read this more than the stock market. They cared. That was thinking. You know, there was a story of a pastor, him and his wife, they went to a church. He was going to preach. And while he was there, the home pastor, he said, "Look, I want to introduce y'all to a very special speaker. He's awesome. He's a great person. Now, I want y'all to pay attention and listen." This visiting pastor was blown away. "Hey, I'm a great speaker." As him and his wife were leaving to go home, he sort of looked at his wife and he goes, "You know, how many great preachers are there in the world?" Her response is, "One less than you think." But when you think, you know, how do we view ourselves? Are we too high and mighty? Most time, you can go after a service here, and in the kitchen, there's most of the time a certain group of women fighting to wash dishes. I pick on Miss Betty. I was like, "It's my time to eat the crumbs. You ain't getting this." She's always helping. She's always caring and loving. Just like any of y'all. But what shuts us down? When we think we're better. When we stop and we look at the needs in the church. The needs in our home. I can use a lot of our widow ladies as examples that they started first and they brought their husbands along. But is that what the Bible says? Who should go first, men? We should lead our families. So you see how it's swaying. Ever since the Garden of Eden, man has forgotten his role. And men, we've got to learn to get that back. As I work in law enforcement, I see too many young men. Why do they join these gangs? They want to have that acceptance that they're not getting at home. These gangs nowadays, they are very sophisticated. They infiltrate your home. And I'll tell you how they infiltrate. First thing they do, these gang members who initiate, they don't come wearing tattoos and skinhead and all this stuff. No. They actually are clean cut. They look very professional. And they come in and, "You need to do right. You need to listen to your parents." As parents, what do we think they is? That's a good influence. He's telling them to study. Yeah, that's what I've been telling him. But then when they get out of your sight, it changes. And before long, you have no control. How many young people come to this church? They don't have that loving kindness at home. Are we too high above that we can't help? If we can't help them, what's happening at our home? So what's our thinking of ourselves? Is it faulty? And we have to do some serious heart-to-heart review on this. It's not easy when you have to face your own faults. But when you do, they're a whole lot easier to conquer. When I understood that man that was trying to get me to quit smoking, what did he stand to lose by me quitting? Nothing. What did he stand to gain either way? When I understood he loved me and cared for me, and I realized that, how easy do you think it was to put him down? How about forgetful thinking? Did I skip it? I must have skipped it. But forgetful thinking. You know, why are we worried about these elections? Why? What can Trump do or Biden do that Almighty God can't change? God changed each and every one of you. Do you think a presidential candidate's too big that can't be changed? Why are we worried about a virus? Why? Now, I'm not saying God never said be stupid. He never said go tempt. Does not say that. But do you think right now we depend more on CNN and Fox News than praying? I mean, how should we address each other, you know? If I love and I care about you and I know I'm sick, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to stay home. I'm going to go get treatment. I'm going to look out for each other. I'm going to wash my hands more. If I know you have a high risk, I'm going to do whatever I can to help you. But we don't. We forget where we come from. I mean, there's a big difference, you know? Next, what does James chapter 1, verse 17 say? Every good gift comes from who? From above. Every good gift. How much has God given you? When I look around, how blessed are we? We know how to read and write. We have God's holy word. We are so far ahead of time. But do we thank Him or do we forget those? Let's say when I'm here because I'm scared of cancer, do I forget what He's brought me through in the beginning? He changed each and every one of us. He loves us. His own Son went to the cross and died for you. Isn't that awesome? What bad can happen? We look at funerals as wrong. It's like just like when I was thinking about Mr. Bill, we were all sitting there, and one person said, you know what? If there's grass in heaven, Mr. Bill's already working on the mowers to keep it mowed. You know, how much testimony was that? And he was saved. And the pastor could say, hey, he is in heaven. What's that little man with the pitchfork saying? You don't know. You got a whole book of promises. A love notes from God. You got one doubt from Satan and you'll listen to the one doubt. But it's amazing. We forget that He's a loving Father. I mean, what did He do to the children of Israel? He fed them. All they had to do was walk out. Oh, it's manna again. Really? How nice would that be? When you stop and you think how much we're beyond our own understanding and how much it leads. What's the body of Christ? What is the body of Christ when you stop and you think? Is this not the body of Christ? It's the church. So or under B, it was forgetful. And then number two is the wonder. What's our function? Number two is wander. Yeah, wander. My redneck slang come out. Yeah, it's fine. As Stacy used to tell me, she could always tell when I was playing football on the field. And I go, how's that? She said, you're the only one no one could understand. And I was like, well, and I always would try to come up with an excuse. But she was right. I'm a hoity-toiter from San Soy. But you know, why did God bring each and every one of us here? Why did Miss Ann Cartwright and Miss Bruce Cartwright invite me and my wife to come to this church? Why? Why did we come? Why did each and every one of y'all welcome us in with open arms, love, kindness, caring? I can be a little abrasive. I'm different. I'm the man. I'm law enforcement. I send people to prison, jail. I take your rights. Y'all still love me. I'm looking for Mr. Bruce. He always picks on me. But when you stop and you think, why did this all happen? Each and every one of y'all changed me. We work together as one body. No offense, can everybody be a nursery worker? Now, then pastors come and caught me and Mr. Charles trying to play nursery worker. He was like, no more. Men will not be in the nursery no more. We're like, why? The kids are being behaved. He said, giving them chocolate and candy does not constitute taking care of young ones. The parents, that you know, when they carry them home, they're wide open, they're wired. It doesn't work that way. How about driving a van, a bus? You can ask Mr. Jesse and Mr. Al, Miss Carol, and other people. Brother Travis, who's went on to be with the Lord. Different ones. Is it meant for everybody to drive that bus? No. It's like Miss Rochelle, when she drives and the children she deals with, some people can't understand them. Am I wrong, Miss Rochelle? But they're the most loving, caring kids. Each of us have our own role. It's like playing the piano. Thank goodness. We've got Miss Kathy. She's awesome. We've got other people that can play and help and fill in. If I play, yeah, Halloween would have a whole different idea. It'd be scary. Everybody would be running out of the church. Even probably up above, I said, make a joyful noise, not scare everybody to death. But how about preaching? How about teaching? All the way down, can everybody clean? When you look at our restrooms. Every service you come in, they're clean. You feel comfortable. How about in our foyer? That takes people. Each of us have a role. Isn't it amazing? How about mowing the grass? How about when we're out doing landscaping, different things outside? So number A is uniqueness. Each member has a uniqueness. What is your uniqueness that God has given you? I mean, some people have really unique gifts. Brother Travis, being he's not here, I can pick on him. He used to tell me driving the van, he said, are these kids saved? If not, let me drive. They will get saved. They'll be calling on the Lord real quick. Those of y'all who don't know Brother Travis, he was blind. And if he's driving the bus, guess what? You would be praying. How often did he beg us to go in one neighborhood? There's kids here. They need the Lord. No, I'm not going there. I don't know these people. What, we go, we end up with a lot of kids in your class. burdock. That love to come. When you stop and think about meals and the cooking, not all of us can cook. I promise you I can't. Thank goodness Miss Betty can. I don't know how Miss Bobby stays small. If I had a wife that cooked as good as Miss Betty, I'd be bigger than Wesley. I'm gaining. But stop and think about the loving kindness. Can all of us grow crops? I look at Mr. Wade Reed. Not everybody can do it. But somebody's got to feed us. How about being in the military? We all have our unique gift. So why not come together in unity and just adore each other? Pick each other up. You know, that morning when I saw Brother Jim, I promise you, we're sitting in El Paso. It was, like 100 and some degrees. And all we had was a swamp cooler to keep us cool. I was like, yeah, this ain't going to fly too high for me. You went with the printing shop, I believe. I went out doing construction. And we're finding snakes. And when I mean snakes, we're used to little garden snakes around here. No, we're talking snakes, yay, big around, 6 to 7 foot. And they talk back to you by rattling. Yeah, they were real fun to deal with. I was like, I'm not sure about this. But what did just that smile do to me? We were actually told, don't go. I had some of my friends tell me, you know there's Muslims over there. They're going to hurt you when you cross that border. Once you cross the border, you're on your own. Got a question. They also forgot that our God controls down there as well. I remember when Christian Pease and my son Christian come back, they were in tears. They loved those kids. How awesome is that? So why do we have fear now? If we all work together, what can we be afraid of? If the whole country come together, united under God, just like we said years ago, one nation under God. It has no other name. Period. If we come as our forefathers said, and we truly believed it, and we were in one family, one unity, why would I have a job? We wouldn't need police. Because we'd love each other. We wouldn't have to have prisons. Why? Because we all get along. We wouldn't need money. Because we all helped each other. So how do we change? You know, God designed each and every part of our body for a reason. Just like a church. Everybody has their role. What happens if I take away your little toe? How significant is that little toe? It balances. And trust me, when you get size and my age, you want as much balance as possible. There's times I wish I had another little toe out there to help. But when you stop and you think, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 through 20, it says, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Now, are they many members, yet but one body?" You know, it pleased God. He created you perfect the first time. How many people right now are taking antidepressants and everything? They're on diet drugs. They're going to plastic surgeons, everything, because they want to change themselves over stuff they've done. But guess what? Who made you? Do you make any mistakes? Stacy says sometimes it's debatable. But he makes no mistakes. He made you perfect the first time. And he guides us if we'll just listen. Me and Mark, one day, we decided we need to teach Miss Yannick. She needed to depend on us more, and we were going to teach her on a gun. She needed a gun in the house. She's by herself on how to protect herself. And I'll never forget, we part, and me and Mark come up with this plan. Allison was in it. We run, hide behind her trailer, and Allison was just knocking on the door, and me and Mark were messing with the windows. We're like, Miss Yannick will get scared. We'll get a phone call, and now we can show her how to properly use a gun and border up her house and be safe. That was our expectation. Little to our surprise, Miss Yannick busted out the door with a bowling pin in her hand, coming wide open, and Allison got to see me and Mark Griefentroff sprinting across, trying to run from a little lady with a bowling pin. As we're screaming, "It's us, Miss Yannick." She said, "I don't care. She's coming." She weren't going down without a fight, but each of us have a role. I don't care how insignificant you think you are sometimes. But so many times in churches, we want to step on each other. I am better. Sometimes we have to be brought to our knees. And when you stop and you think how much you affect people, how much impact you have, it's awesome. When you can reflect, how did you get where you are now? It really amazes me how many times in church we rather kick people aside than help them up. Reflect on your own uniqueness, your own part of God's body. When you stop and you look at how you feel now, knowing that God can change anything, He changed you. He changed me, and I've done some pretty horrific things in my life. I promise you, if you go back to my high school and you ask people about me, first thing they're going to ask, "He's a police officer? You sure he weren't arrested by the police?" Same in college. He changed me so much, 180 degrees. He changed each and every one of you. He knows that deep, dark secret that you've never told anybody, that you don't want no one to ever know, you hope never comes to a light of day. He knows it. And He accepted you. He went through the cross for you. How much, when we understand that, can we reach out and help somebody? Reflect on that this week when you're thinking and meditating. How can we make our homes a better place, our church a better place, and just our society? It's catchy. It's bigger than a pandemic. But we rather worry about the COVID virus and live in fear when we can push back. Because we know who has all the control? God. What's the worst thing can happen to us? What? Nothing. Nothing. Nero found that out the hard way, didn't he? When he was crucifying the apostles. Wait a minute, I'm cutting them in half, marching my army through, setting them on fire, and they're still singing. They won't stop. Let's start an epidemic of our own as we go through this. Keep your pages if you want to read through them this week. We're going to probably for the next 4 weeks. And then we'll, I think there'll be another speaker to help through it. So let's close in a word of prayer real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can all come together. Dear Heavenly Father, we just appreciate all the many blessings you've done for each and every one of us as we stop and we reflect at how you're awesome and wonderful, loving, caring God. There's not enough time in the day to thank you for all the many blessings, dear Heavenly Father. But as we reflect in our lives, we can see how much that Satan is just attacking and we rather drift away. Just please allow us just to be steadfast and strong and just to reflect on you, dear Heavenly Father. Please put a hedge of protection around this church, this sanctuary, that Satan may not enter in, tempt, or toss. In Jesus' name, amen.